This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my lovely co-host.
Me.
Bird.
What?
On a bike.
Hello.
With a short, fat, hairy legs.
Apparently so.
That have been waxed.
They haven't. I've never waxed my legs.
What do you do, shave?
Yeah, if we've got to talk about this, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Blimey.
You know what I said about Stephen having his legs waxed?
Yeah, is he giving you a hard time?
Yeah, he went, thanks a lot. Nothing is sacred. I went, nope. Yeah. There you go, love. Yeah. Welcome to my world.
What does he use for the waxing?
He goes to the waxing woman.
Oh, does he? Don't use the Mac or something?
No.
Hair removal cream?
No, he properly gets it waxed. He's hard. He's like,
is it? Strips.
It's off. Yeah.
Oh, blimey.
You know, it's like hot wax.
Oh, no. I don't know. I've never had it done.
Well, when you race, if you fall off the bike, it's two things. It's aerodynamic, and if you fall off, there's nothing worse than gravel graze.
Yeah, yeah.
So you do. It's easy for women, because obviously that's natural, isn't it?
Yeah.
But men, you can usually tell cyclists and the ones that race, because they don't have hair on their legs.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Anywhere else that it happens?
I don't need to even go there with that, do I?
No, I was thinking ahead and stuff like that.
You've got a helmet on, haven't you?
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially, like, we were racing on Saturday, and you got these proper racing ones with, like, a tail on the end of it.
Right.
Because we time trial, so, yeah.
Hat, you mean?
Helmet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Racing helmet with a long... Okay.
Did you just call it
that? Yeah, well, I don't know. What you call
it? I love it. Yeah, yeah, anyway, there you go.
It's aerodynamic.
We are aero... It's all about your CDA.
Your what?
It's all about your CDA.
Your credit default what?
That's the right... It's all about how streamlined you can be.
Right, okay.
Yeah, anyway. You all right then?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm just trying to catch up with everything we got.
I
want to tell you a few things, and we've got a lovely guest to talk to in a moment as well, and I'm trying to get everything else out of the way so that we can concentrate on talking to Josephine. Save the date. Put our annual Southeast Construction Exhibition in your 2019 diary. It's happening this year again, and this year it's on Thursday the 26th of September. It's at the South of England Event Centre, that's at Ardingly in East Sussex, and you can book your place by going to constructionexpouk.co.uk. But there's a new thing happening at the awards, the event this year, and that's the Construction Awards. And the Construction Awards are taking place in the evening, the same day as the event, and the platinum sponsor for the Southeast Construction Awards is occupational health company All Health Matters. And you can find out about the Construction Awards by going to the website, which is Construction Expo, EXPO, awards.co.uk. So check it all out. So that's the Construction Expo itself on the 26th during the day, and then the awards dinner at the same place in the evening.
Nice.
Cool.
Maidstone Business Awards.
Mm.
You said they're coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
Thursday the 27th of June. I can't believe I'm saying June in March.
I know.
Mercure Great Danes. This is even worse. Ashford Business Awards. I can't believe I'm saying this.
November.
28th of November.
Mm-hmm.
Ashford International.
Absolutely. They just sent me that to remind me to put it in my diary, that's all.
Are you emceeing?
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice for a change.
I've had a tweet from ZC Social Media, and they say, come along to our free Twitter for Business event in Medway. It's this Thursday. We will cover tips on how to build your social media audience by using Twitter effectively. It's 28th of March, this Thursday, 4:30 till 5:30, totally free event, and it's at the Dragon Co-working, which is behind Sir George's Hotel in New Road, Chatham. So do, New Road Avenue, isn't it, in Chatham. So do get along to that, follow ZC Social Media on the Twitter to find out how to book your place.
Awesome. Good. We've got Take Control Workshop, and that's the 28th of March in New Romney, and that's from 10 till 12. Is your business running you, or are you in control? Are you achieving all you want from your business for the hard work you put in? If not, come along to the Take Control Workshop, 28th of March, and that's New Romney. Also, there's Marsh Networking over coffee, and that's Wednesday the 3rd of April. That's 10 till 12, and that's Cinqports Arms, and that's New Romney as well. Go to www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Marsh Network.
I've had a tweet from my icky guy.
Yep.
Who are trading as food junkies. And they say, Vanilla Web, but on a bike, Business Bunker, Hope you're having a fantastic show today. Please give the food junkies from My Ikigai a shout out. Visit us at the Kent Vegan Market on the first Sunday of every month. A vegan food company.
Of course, that's got a big connection with Bruce.
Bruce is one of the people behind that. Yeah. Vegan stuff.
What was that face for?
Vegan stuff.
You can't get away with that face and go bigger like that. It was like a lip up.
Well,
Elvis lip, wasn't it?
Yeah, I prefer food myself.
But if we didn't label it, you wouldn't know.
No. Let me tell you about this. I once did a radio show from Olympia at the Vegan and Vegetarian Food Fest. Yeah. And I sat there from 9 o'clock in the morning trying various foods. And the problem I had with it is they tried to make it like meat food.
I agree with you. Why?
Yeah. And that was driving me nuts because it was more like cardboard. If they just did vegan food, you know, like here's a courgette, eat it kind of thing, that's fine. I like courgettes, whatever. But to try and make it look like a sausage and taste like a sausage while being a courgette just doesn't do it for me. That's my problem with
it. I agree with you. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Stop hiding it behind vegan bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon's bacon.
But yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it slices a pig no matter what you do to it, yeah?
Yeah.
And anything other than that isn't bacon.
I love it when we get on these rants. Yeah. It just makes me chuckle. Okay, we've got a tweet from Agilis Mobile, and as all the excitement from the Canterbury Awards dinner dwindles down, we wanted to stop and congratulate all the winners for their outstanding efforts. And she said, tune in today to listen to the winners, which we did. But I just wanted to say, Agilis, thank you very much.
Yeah. I need to tell you about ZC Live. It's the free social media event in Kent. ZC Live is back for 2019 again, and it's on the 31st of May. And the ZC team are super excited and have lined up an amazing agenda, which will be revealed over the coming weeks. It's a completely free event taking place at the Strood Academy, and you can get your tickets and reserve your place by going to eventbrite.co.uk/ZC Live 2019 tickets or follow ZC social media on the Twitter.
I love it.
It was a brilliant event last year.
Well, we've said it every time, haven't we? It started off years ago and then it's built and built, and they've built it through consistency and getting that energy with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it wasn't what it was in the beginning. And that's what people don't see, do they? They don't see what it was in
how
the beginning.
How it's grown and developed and the kind of speakers that they have and
exactly.
everybody. Yeah, brilliant.
Exactly.
I need to tell you about the Tech Expo UK. The first ever event of its kind in the southeast of England. A full-day exhibition for business owners wanting to connect with suppliers who can help them run, build and grow their business using the power of technology. You can meet with over 100 suppliers from different sectors of technology, including IT support, cyber security, software, digital marketing, online web accountancy, and software as a service. Hear from 5 fantastic speakers and take part in 5 interactive workshops. The speakers include Brian Sutton from Microsoft, how Microsoft is developing to help businesses, Richard Bell, who's the Chief Technology Officer of 10 Intelligence on cyber security, Ben Abbott, who's the Chief Executive of Maximum Media, getting your business ready for voice technology. Will Charlesworth from Cripps Law, talking about new laws in the digital sphere. And an interesting talk from Bill Burton from the Dale Carnegie Organisation, talking about being human in a digital world. It's interesting. And then there's some workshops. Google partner Amy McManus of AM Marketing, keeping your business ahead in the digital marketing game. Aaron Taylor, who's the CEO of 6-2 Technology. Stop the sales pitch, start the conversation. We were talking about that earlier, weren't we? Mike Hacker, commonly known as Hacks, who's the Chief Executive of Prisma Broadcast. How the proper use of video can propel your business forward. The lovely Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, having an adaptable content strategy plan. And Claire Derbyshire from LinkedIn, how to use LinkedIn for your business. So that's the Tech Expo. If you're a supplier who doesn't want to miss the opportunity to showcase your brand to hundreds of buyers and business owners who are looking for the right tech to help them with their business, you can meet them face-to-face in a buzzing trade show environment. Contact us for more details about exhibition packages. And the best way to do that is to go to the website, which is techexpouk.com. techexpouk.com.
We've got a Women in Business lunch, and that's at Chilston Park on Wednesday the 3rd of April, and that's 11:15 till 2:30. And the speakers are Belinda Collins and Katie Day. And to book your for that event, go on to www.worldwideweb. I always like the wibbly wobbly woo.
I haven't done that.
womeninbusiness.co.uk.
Cool. Do you know what? I think we'll talk to somebody sensible.
Let's do it.
I think we should talk to our next guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back. You have been on before, haven't you?
I have.
The lovely Josephine McCartney. Josephine, welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you.
Josephine's from the Kent Foundation. And I guess, why don't you tell us about the Kent Foundation rather than me, with my interpretation of it?
All right. So it's Kent Community Foundation, because there is an organisation called Kent, the Kent Foundation, which does a completely different thing to us.
Do you know,
so.
And I do this, whenever I'm trying to do anything about a Kent Foundation, I go and look up the logos and the website and all the rest of it, and I start to do it and I go, that's the American one. Mm. Yeah. And then I have to throw it all away and go and find a proper one. Yep.
I mean, well, there is, a foundation called the Kent, Foundation, but their job is matching, business mentors with young people who are wanting to start up their own businesses.
Yeah.
So it's very completely different to us.
Yeah.
So we, Kent Community Foundation, are a professional grant making organisation in Kent, and we help, for the purposes of this discussion, we help local businesses to connect with local organisations and charities right across Kent and Medway.
Right. So let's kind of deconstruct what happens here.
Yeah.
You're an organisation. And there are other community foundation organisations around the country, I do
believe.
That's
right. Yeah, there's 46 of us that are right across the UK.
Cool.
Yeah.
But you kind of act independently in your own region.
We do. Yeah.
And what you do is you manage funds on behalf of organisations that wish to make donations into the charitable sector.
That's right.
So rather than them going, I don't know who to give the money to, but we want to do something and we want to have an impact, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So they give the money over to you, and then when they do that, do they leave it entirely to your discretion as to how you allocate those funds, or does some of them tell you what they want to do with it? How does it kind of work?
Yeah, so what we call is donor advised. Mm. So what people in the main will do is at least give us a basic criteria of the sorts of things that they want to fund.
Mm.
So if you want total control over where your money goes, but you just don't want the hassle of having to manage the whole process, then you can do that. But
right.
That is a certain value of a fund, because that's a huge amount of work on our part.
Right.
And what happens is that for the people who give us money to give out on their behalf, mm. of which there are around 80 of them at the moment.
Wow, okay.
And that is about £2.5 million in grants that we give out each year,
right.
from that 80 individuals, companies and yep. other kind of trusts and foundations. Mm. And if you want to do that, then, you know, we will then take a fee to do that on your behalf.
Mm.
And then we provide all the support for you and also the organisations that you want to fund.
Right.
So if you're giving into a pooled fund, which is what I want to talk about today,
yep.
so mm. the Ashford Corporate Giving Fund, then that is a pooled fund, is what it says. So if you're contributing a smaller amount, you're collectively giving to a fund, but you still get to decide where the money goes, actually, and you also, and these particular funds, get to meet the charities
right, okay.
that you want to support as well.
Okay.
So we just do all of the due diligence and all the work that sits around it,
mm.
so that by the time those organisations are presenting to you as a collective group of people giving money to organisations in Ashford that you might never heard of before, then we've done all that work in the background.
Okay. So let's explore this particular fund for Ashford.
Yeah.
So what's it called again? What's the fund called?
So it's the Ashford Corporate Giving Fund.
Right.
And we have a fund like this that exists in Medway
right.
already. And so for the businesses that we currently work with, they are the larger businesses in Kent, and they will be giving us a sort of, you know, between £50,000 and £100,000 each year to give out on their behalf.
Right.
Right. But we thought, well, that's lovely and that's great if you can afford that. But what if you're a smaller business And you actually still want to do this, but you're not sure how to engage with the voluntary sector, because unless you're someone like you, who's a volunteer for various organisations and trustees of, so many organisations like Kenwood Trust, you wouldn't necessarily know how to engage with the voluntary sector, and I think that's what we can help you with.
Absolutely.
So we decided that we would set up, first of all, a Medway Corporate Giving Fund, and we have about 10 members in that fund at the moment, and they each give between £1,000 and £2,500 each year.
Right.
And then we get together once or twice a year, depending on how much money's in the pot.
Yep.
And it's a bit like a really nice Dragon's Den type scenario,
right,
where the companies who give into the fund will be presented by three or four charities. And the charities that we have selected at that point on your behalf, you're likely to fund them. So when the charities are there presenting in front of this panel of people, it's all very informal. They are likely to be funded. It's just about how much money you're likely to give each of those charities for presenting to you on the night.
Okay.
And you get to make that decision yourself.
So with the Ashford Fund, are the charities all Ashford-based charities?
Yes. Yeah? Yes.
And are the funders all Ashford-based companies?
Yes.
Or can they, it really is a community thing.
It really is community.
It's Ashford companies funding Ashford charities.
Exactly.
Can you give us a feel for the type of charities that are in Ashford that are looking at this?
So Community Driving School is one of them.
Right, okay, yeah.
So, and actually we've just funded Community Driving School through another program, through one of our other grants programs, because we really believe in the ethos of what they're doing.
It's a fantastic idea, isn't it? It really does make a difference as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And so another kind of organisation is the Ashford and Tenterton Umbrella organisation, and they work with people who are vulnerable and maybe, have additional learning difficulties and they need support, and it's about bringing them together. And then we've got Homestart Ashford, and that's, again, it's the same thing, but it's also for young families who are needing that additional support, and they just need to come together and actually just ask for advice. And it's all, free to them, and we will fund organisations like that. So from young families to vulnerable adults to elderly and isolated.
Right,
and East Kent, really.
Yeah.
That's East Kent. That's what East Kent represents in terms of the voluntary sector. We will always give you, if you're a member, a selection of those types of organisations to consider funding.
It's interesting talking about smaller businesses with charitable giving as well. I have a blog on the radio website, blogs about charitable giving, because so many businesses don't understand the ins and outs of charitable giving, from a tax point of view
as much
as anything else. Because they're small businesses and they just don't have that wherewithal. So it's important, because people do like to feel that they're contributing to their communities.
Exactly.
But they need to know how to do it. And the problem in this day and age is that you can't do anything without, filling out the right forms and crossing the right T's and dotting the right I's. So you need to know how to do it. And sometimes that puts people off of doing what they want to do. So an organisation like yours that kind of handles that for them is the whole rationale for this, is it not?
Yeah, exactly. And actually it's also about, so I would always encourage people, if they're a business and they have members of staff and they know the type of organisation they want to fund or they know the charity they want to fund, they don't need us.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need us. But if you're unsure and you are sort of dipping your toe in the water and you actually probably want to also get involved in that charity and it's not just about writing a cheque or sending a donation in, then coming through us allows you to do all of that. So it's about staff engagement. And it's about you as a company being more involved in your local community rather than just writing a cheque and never really knowing what's happened with that money or what difference it's actually made. And so that's where we come in. That's the expertise that we provide, actually. It's that additional what's actually happened.
And I think this is my view, not your own, so I'm not trying to push this anywhere near you at all, Josephine. Some years ago, I used to work as a management consultant, and some years ago, I spent some time looking at some of the big multinational charities as a consultant. And some of the things I found there were a little bit shocking to some extent, because there were some very well-known charities that raised a lot of money, but were always incredibly poor. Really? How did that happen? And it turned out that they had covenants that said you could only spend the money on one particular thing. Yeah. And they already had more than enough of that. Yeah. So although they had all this cash sloshing around, they weren't able to spend it on things they needed to spend it on. And you just think, right, okay. So maybe we need to look at that in a different way, because some charities are able to put their message out there because they're big charities, so they can do TV advertising. So we've all heard of them.
Yeah.
But it's quite often the smaller charities that are actually more in need of the money, where the funds more directly go to things that you can measure and see.
Yeah, well, always
in your community.
So, the first part of that is that actually any charity through the Charity Commission can change its objects.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
So any charity who tells you they can't do that, that's not true.
True. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So any charity, if they really put their mind to it, and it's not easy thing to do, but you can change your objects.
Yeah, yeah, of course you can.
So you don't have to sit with a whole load of money sitting in reserve, so you could spend it. So that's one thing. Secondly, though, the whole point that community foundations exist is because we are actually looking for those small organisations, the ones that don't have a fundraiser, the ones that don't have a marketing budget, the ones that don't have the wherewithal always to be able to get their message out there and reach new audiences and new donors.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they'll be beavering away themselves and they'll have their regular people who know about them and will support them regularly.
Yeah.
But say they want to do something else. Let's say they want to grow the service, or they need to find new premises, or, you know, they don't have those kind of contacts, and that's where our funders come in.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's about, we're as much about the sector as we are about the people that we help to support the sector.
Absolutely.
So we sit right in the middle.
I have direct first-hand experience of that. I'm the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society. We have no staff at all. We have no paid staff.
Yeah.
We just have volunteers that are mostly parents whose children are hearing impaired.
Yeah.
And they do it entirely on a voluntary basis. We have no fundraisers. The money we got was all from government. They halved our budget last year. We look after 1,800 kids on a budget of $7,000.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, there's no way out of that. There's nothing you can do. There's no money to spend to go and raise more money even.
No. And one of the things that we do is provide that infrastructure support. And actually, one of the things I wanted to talk about today was that, you know, companies in Ashford and companies across Kent, it's not just about giving money.
Mm.
There's, so we support hundreds, you know, so over 600 charities this year has benefited from grants from us.
Really? Okay.
Yep. And I will regularly meet with charities who need additional advice and support.
Right.
Always.
Right.
You know, so whether that's help with a business plan, whether it's marketing, you know, whether it's design, it doesn't matter what it is, but they're always needing some level of support.
Absolutely.
And actually, we need companies to, I suppose, offer their services, so pro bono support.
Yep.
And two examples of that. So my husband, his name's Paul McCartney, and you know Paul. And
I know his band. Yeah,
he's e-business coaching. and so what he's done, is become a trustee of Folks and Academy FM, because his background is radio.
Yep.
So he's taken his expertise and said, right, okay, I'll give you my time and advice for nothing. You know, and to help you in terms of how you commercialise some of the work you do.
Yep.
So that's one example. And then the other example is that we're working with a company called AdPlan Creative, and what they've agreed to do is create a whole design and brand for Folks in Academy for their careers programme. For nothing, because it's what they do.
Yeah.
And they want to give something back. So it's not always about money.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and it's not always about what we do, but we can connect people up.
And quite often that time and expertise and contact is far more valuable than money.
Absolutely. Yeah. Far more valuable than money. I mean, if you think about what you would pay a business consultant who had to come in and write a roadmap for you about where you're going in the future and actually have to think about, you know, your financial modelling or where you invest your money and where the risk is.
Yeah.
All those sorts of things that as a small charity, isn't a small business, you don't always necessarily know. But if you're a growing business and you've been through that and you've got that experience and you know, and you can guide someone through that yourself, such a great thing to do, especially when you see that organisation develop, start, you know, raising their profile, people get to hear about it, and you think that's a really great thing to do if you've got those kind of skills.
Yeah.
So I would positively encourage any businesses, especially, you know, especially Ashford businesses, you know, you don't have, just tell us what your skills are.
Yeah.
We'll marry up with the people that you need to be married up with.
Right.
You don't, you know, you don't have to do anything else.
Yeah.
Do anything else other than that, you just need to get in contact with us.
That's cool. I want to ask you a question now.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of putting you on the spot a little bit.
All right.
How come you're as successful as you are? And the reason why I'm asking you that question, and I made reference earlier, there are a number of foundations around the country, and quite a lot of them aren't quite as successful as Kent.
No.
We'll leave that aside. What I want to know is what's making Kent work as well as it does?
I think we have a very good board.
Mm.
So we have a very good board of trustees.
Right.
We had an excellent chief executive before I came on board, and I've just built on what the infrastructure that she developed.
Right.
So, you know, credit to her, actually.
Mm.
But I think it's because people in Kent really care about Kent.
Right, yeah.
And when you really care about your county,
yeah,
it's easier to ask for help and support, isn't it?
Because yeah, for
people
sure.
genuinely yeah. believe. So it's like we were saying about the Ashford Business Fund.
Mm.
So if you're an Ashford business, you're more likely to want to give to an Ashford charity, aren't you? You're a Medway business, you're
exactly.
more likely to give to a Medway.
Yeah.
So yeah. it's actually about making the work that we do relevant to the people that we are asking for support from, and like any business.
Mm.
So I think that's it. Make your relationship relevant. Tap into what people really want and expect from you and deliver.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think you nailed it. Kent is very much, it's actually a small business county.
Mm-hmm.
We have more small businesses in Kent than any other county yep. in the country. We don't have very many large businesses, but because we have so many small businesses, we tend to be much more community orientated because yes. everybody collaborates with everybody else because they have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And therefore they relate more to smaller local charities too because we're all in the same boat to some extent.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think you're right. I think that's part of what makes it as strong as it is, that we do have a strong community here across Kent.
Yeah.
You know, not just in Ashford, but Ashford has a strong community too,
yeah,
and there's a lot of things happening. Do you have any idea how many local charities there are in the county?
Yep. So I absolutely do know. So there are over 3,000.
Are there really?
Yeah, there are over 3,000 local charities across Kent. I can't get the actual figures for Ashford because they don't break it down by district.
Yeah.
Mm. But I do know that for every 1,000 residents in Ashford, there are 2.1 charities.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and growing. So right. 2016-17 financial year, there were 73 new charities registered in Kent.
Wow. Okay.
Alone.
Why do you think that is, Josephine? Why are people starting charities even now? Because you'd think it
wouldn't think it was as on trend.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd think it would sort of be wasting, you know, finding its pathway now in a different way.
It's neat. Mm. So often it's a personal experience.
Mm.
You have a personal experience of something and you go to a national charity or even a regional charity, even a Kent-based wide charity, and you look for specific support. And that charity says, I'm really sorry, but we don't provide that support in your area because we don't have funding to do it. And you think, well, actually, there's got to be more than me who needs that advice and support. So I'm going to do something about that.
Mm.
And they set it up.
You know, I have a particular view on that as well. I think it actually is on trend, and it is becoming trendy, but no, I don't mean that in a disparaging way. So many people come up with ideas now that have a great demand and no real way of satisfying them monetarily. Yeah. So you can't start a conventional business out of doing it because you go bust in a week. Yeah. But the demand is there. Yeah. You know, when we were talking about, you know, hygiene products and stuff like that, you know, there's a demand for it, but there's no way you can do it. You know, it's already done from a commercial point of view and it's outside of that commercial thing that's not working.
Yeah.
So people come up with ideas for things and virtually a community interest company or a charity are about the only way that you're ever going to get it off the ground.
What about a non-for-profit?
Yep.
Well, that's a CIC.
That's the CIC. So, so you do get, social enterprises. So they come in all different guises, social enterprises. But I think always that you have to remember that your social enterprise has to have benefit for people who are disadvantaged in some way. You can't just set up a business under a charity structure. And I feel very strongly about this. Mm. Don't bloody do it, people, unless you actually have a real social purpose.
Yeah.
And that social purpose can stand up to scrutiny because there's so many social enterprises, people who set up CICs, as they call them, so community interest companies, and they can't actually really explain what their social purpose is. So, you know, don't do it unless you really know what you're talking about.
I'm smiling because it's not funny, But, and this is answering part of your issue as well, Bird. Some people set up CICs because they think a charity is an easier way to get money in than actually selling stuff.
Of course.
So they come up with a business idea that goes, you know what? My business model is you give me money and I'll do this. Yeah. But there isn't actually much of a social purpose to it. They've just tried to take an easy route out. But the funny thing is, it's not actually easy. Running a charity is a damn sight harder than running a business. Yeah. Because people don't often come along and give you money for nothing.
For nothing.
Yeah.
At least with it's transactional, isn't it? Yeah. A business, you know?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
I give you this.
You give me that. Yeah.
I give you this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hands go up in the air.
It's
really interesting.
So can I have, two requests then, right?
Yeah, sure.
The first request is that if you are a business in Ashford and you would like to move over in the Ashford Corporate Giving Fund, do get in contact with us and all the information is on. You've got it, haven't you, in Business Bunker?
I've been
social media and tweeting it and all that sort of stuff. You'll find us, absolutely find us. But the other thing is a specific ask. So, if you're a business out there and you know how to write a really good business plan, and you can provide someone with advice and support on a roadmap for taking up business at a charity which has just been established and is excellent and is looking to grow, and they're called the Hygiene Bank, you can look them up. They're just registered a few months ago. They're absolutely fantastic. And they are looking for someone to give them pro bono. So remember, you ain't getting paid for this, folks. But you get an awful lot back in return if you are able to help them, because they will grow, and they really need that kind of support. So I'd strongly recommend it. If you have a social purpose in you and you want to do something and you don't have the funds but you've got the expertise, get in touch with me and I'll put you in contact with the Hygiene Bank.
Cool. Go on.
Are people happier to give you money than give you their time?
Both.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, both.
I love that.
Because
that's what that last request is, isn't it?
Yeah,
can you give me your time?
Yeah.
I don't want your money. Yeah. I want what you know.
Yeah, it's your contacts, it's your
time.
You don't
look at that as charity or non-for-profit, do we?
Yeah.
You don't look at that as giving.
Yeah, it's giving. Absolutely is giving. And think about the impact that's going to have.
Absolutely. If you want to find out about any of this, then as Josephine said, there is a link on the Kent Business Radio website to their website, but it's kentcf.org.uk is the website for the Kent Community Foundation. Do support them. Do donate money into those funds, because they can help direct it to the places that need it most. And I think that's the crucial thing about any of these things, isn't it? Is if you want to do the maximum amount of good, leave it to someone that knows what they're doing, really. I mean, it's nice of us to drop pennies into a collecting box for this, that and the other, isn't it? But, you know, if you're really going to make a difference, you really have to make a difference.
It's really interesting. On my show last week, they were talking about, they want to do all this, they want to build this wealth, so that they can then go on and do philanthropic work. Mm. And I said, whoa, why are you waiting? There are some great, and I'm looking on a global scale. Mm-hmm. So you've got, for example, somebody like Kate Spade, who uses On Purpose. Mm. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yeah.
They go into countries. So it's on a larger scale, exactly the same model, isn't it?
Yep.
Just globally.
Yeah.
And I said, you can do exactly that. And he was like, oh, my goodness. And it's just that, this is what I want to do. My intention is this.
Mm.
But, and they don't realise that they don't have to wait. You can do it all the time, going along, if that was your intention to give.
Mm. Absolutely. You just get involved.
You do it now.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, absolutely. So, that's the Ashford Award.
Yeah.
And Paul, and you say you've got one in Medway as well. Are there plans to expand that around the county?
Yeah, I think so. I think, we need to, test it and see how effective it is. So we know that it works. Because it works, it works in Medway, and the businesses get together and they do the whole networking bit as well. So it's good for, on that basis.
Mm.
But, we'll only roll it out if we know that it works.
Yep.
So Ashford is our first trial, sort of outside of Medway.
And is it live yet, the Ashford Fund?
No, it's not live. So we've got everything ready.
Mm.
We've been talking about it for a while now.
Right.
Obviously we need members.
Right.
For it to be effective. So actually creating the fund, we'd like, if we can, 10 members.
When you say members, is that donators?
Yes, donators.
So we want 10 ASHRAE companies to get their checkbooks out and get involved and start to work with you.
Yep.
Now, that's an order.
Yes, please.
Get on with it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Thank you.
What are you waiting for? Stop messing them out. Cool. And you can't, you've already told us that you don't know exactly how many charities there are in ASHRAE, but presumably there's quite a few.
Oh, there's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, we know from the application. So we get around 1,000 applications, every year.
Right.
And we fund about 600 of those, as I was saying.
Right.
And we fund in every district.
Right.
So 13 districts, including Medway.
Right.
And we have projects that we're funding in every single district.
Okay.
And the more money we have in each district, the more projects we fund, because that's how it works. So,
do a lot of these charities kind of, are focused on charity? Does it tend to focus on ASHRAE, or is it just that it happens to be based in ASHRAE, or is it a kind of mixture of those?
Well, it's like we were saying before about why do new charities pop up and why are they created? So they're usually created for the need that's happening in immediately.
Right there,
exactly. Yeah. So if you set up a charity in ASHRAE, it'll be about ASHRAE people.
Yeah.
It's unusual for it to be wider. But if you grow, and some charities do grow, they'll expand their services out.
Yep.
So, but the basis will always be ASHRAE, and then they might have gone to Canterbury, or they might go down to Folkestone, or they might go to Hythe, or, you know, so it just depends really. But the way you set your charity up is usually because there is a need in your direct area.
Absolutely. Cool. Josephine, thank you so much for that.
Pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and you're so passionate about what you do, and you make a big difference personally and with the organisation that you represent, and we thank you for that, and it does make a big difference to the community in Kent. Do keep on keeping on. I know you will anyway.
Yeah, we will.
So for the moment, thank you so much. If people want to find out more about the work of the Kent Community Foundation, it's kentcf.org.uk is the website. Do check it out. Do find out what's going on. If you're an ASHRAE business, please get in touch with them and get involved. If you want to put money into it, or expertise or time, they are very interested in hearing from you. So do get involved. Thank you so much. We've not got long left of the show. We've got a few things that we still need to read out. So I'll tell you what have you got there?
Well, I've got Thursday the 9th of May, and this is 9 till 5. This is Venues and Events Expo South East. And this is at the Kent Event Centre, a one-day exhibition for event professionals, venue finders, PAs, VAs and business owners who want to connect with amazing venues and great suppliers for events. Whether you're organising a business event, meeting, seminar, conference, workshop, team building or a corporate party, you will find everything you need in one place. There are a variety of talks from industry experts covering mental health and wellbeing, sustainability, social media speakers and event tech, plus some fun and informative workshops. Now, there are over 100 venues and event suppliers from the southeast to meet here. Venues and Events Expo will give you the inspiration and means to create and organise the meeting or event you desire. So, if you are a venue or a supplier to the events industry who doesn't want to miss this opportunity to showcase your brand to hundreds of key buyers and event creators, meeting face-to-face with them in a buzzing trading show environment, contact us, which is www.wibblywobblyway. It had to come, didn't it? venuesevents.expo.co.uk, and that's to book your free place to visit the exhibition.
Fantastic. I saw a tweet go through,
they
and I was going to read
come,
it, and I can't
they...
find it again now. Can't find that. I've got some news to tell you from McBride's Chartered Accountants. They've announced the appointment this month of a new tax partner. Interestingly, the tax partner initially trained with the firm in SigCup 18 years ago. Yeah. Masoom Ahmed is a chartered tax advisor and trust and estate practitioner who qualified as a member of the Association of Tax Technicians and Chartered Institute of Taxation while a member of the Personal Tax tax team at McBride's in 2001. Massam then went on to gain valuable experience at several leading private client firms in London, including with one of the UK's leading wealth management practices, before coming back to McBride's tax department as a director in 2018. So Massam will continue to oversee McBride's provision of high-level personal income, inheritance and capital gains tax planning advice. And he's also currently vice chair of the Society of Trusts and Estate Practitioners, known as STEP, S-T-E-P, Kent Branch. So congratulations to Massam Ahmed.
So we've got Advanced Social Media Masterclass with Alistair Frost on the 25th of April. You've got Digital Marketing Strategy Masterclass with David Shaw on the 14th of May. And you've got LinkedIn for Business Masterclass with Jay Pluck on the 30th of April. And that's all at the Village Hotel Maidstone. And you need to go to www.
A windy, windy, windy way.
Bestbusinessevents.co.uk. That's the best one you've ever done.
Windy, windy, windy way. I've got one too many W's in there as well.
Who cares?
I?
We know what you meant.
I don't know what that www is all about now. You don't even need it anymore, do you?
I know. Why do they do it?
I don't know. Just habit, I think.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I've been looking for this tweet. What is going on with Twitter today? So it says, this is from Tracy Ferguson. I'll be running a workshop, so we'll look forward to my business bunker fix later this evening. Have a great show, Paul, Bird and guests. Tracy, we always love you listening. Do you know what? I do love our Tuesday nights, because you can see she's listening to it.
Absolutely.
She breaks it down. I'm like, yeah. Tracy, bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. No, she asks lots of really interesting questions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The Sirkin woman's been on.
What's she want?
She's trying to flog Slope off, isn't she, basically?
Well, should we?
I've never been.
Oh, I'm not saying going.
No, I'm not going.
I couldn't think of... Oh, my God.
There's no way I'm going. I wouldn't go.
No.
I'd never get home. I'd be driving people around the county all night.
This is what I'm saying. I don't know if we should, because we're not really the two best people to advertise for this.
No, but I'll give it a go anyway. As she's gone to the effort of,
exactly.
of dusting off a photograph and sending it. This is from Jill Sirkin. She says, there's a link here for our next Slope Off Friday. All business diners are welcome to join us for our informal yet dynamic networking lunch. And then it's a shortened link to MailChimp, so that's not going to work. So you'll just have to follow Jules on the Twitter. It's Jules Sirkin, S-E-R-K-I-N, Jules Sirkin. Give her a follow on the Twitter. What she's not told me is where the lunch is or when the lunch is.
I was just going to ask that. When and where?
Well, hold on. Let me click on the MailChimp thingy and see what it says. It's at the Boy and Oyster. Funny enough, it's a seafood restaurant in Margate, and the Boy and Oyster are one of the winners of the Canterbury Business Awards.
Oh,
funny
really?
Enough, yeah, and we're going to be hearing from them shortly.
In what category?
Food.
Okay, just asking.
Surprisingly.
What do they do? Food.
They're a seafood bar, restaurant, and cocktail bar.
It could have been
bar.
Restaurant, it could have been bar, it could have been anything.
It's all of those.
What's it called?
Boy and Oyster.
Nice.
Boy as in, you know, C-B-U-O-Y,
yeah.
It's on the 5th of April at 2 p.m. It's in the Boy and Oyster, which is in Margate. And it's £25 for a two-course meal or £28 for a three-course meal. And there's drinks and all kinds of stuff. Do you want to read the menu?
If I knew it had a start and an end, I might go.
It has a start.
But it has no end.
It has a start. It just doesn't scary. Have an end. Yeah.
That's scary, surely, Jules Sirkin.
Anyway, it's the award-winning Boy and Oyster, which apparently, I've not been there, but apparently it's brilliant. And they won an award at the East Kent Awards, Canterbury and East Kent Awards. So, fantastic. Good stuff. I need to also tell you about our sister show, the Business Bunker Extra Show, this Friday. Where Amanda is hosting it, and her co-host is Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law. She's the co-host, and their guest is Aaron Priest. And Aaron is the co-founder of Solo Press. And according to Amanda, they're Vistaprint's biggest rival.
Oh, really?
There you go. So do tune in for that. That's 11 o'clock this Friday here on channelradio.co.uk /2.
I've got a bit of a selling point now.
Mm.
Unlike Bruce, I'm straight in your face.
No, go for it.
Here we go. So tomorrow, I've got the conversation, obviously. That's my radio show. Which
have
is,
you? I didn't know that.
I'm trying not to plug it so much.
Are you?
But, you know, because that, we're just inundated with listeners.
Is that,
and,
is
you
that
know,
1 o'clock?
Really don't need any more listeners. Thank
you. Is that 1 o'clock on a Wednesday?
1 o'clock.
I didn't know
2 o'clock.
I didn't know that.
But can I tell you, I've got the most exciting people coming back, and I love it when people come back on the show. Mm. Now, these are called the Atlantic Avengers. The Atlantic Avengers have just rowed.
Well, they rowed.
You've got it. From Europe, so Cadiz. Cross the Bay of Biscay, which is never done. There's the Talisker race. Tell me about it. There's the Talisker race, which starts down lower at the Canaries.
Did they have to wax to do that?
No. And so anyway, John and Ricky are coming back on the show to go through their experiences. So they've rowed over 3,800 miles. They've broken 5 world records.
Wow.
They are amazing. They did it in 88 days. Mm. They sat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean for 8 days, not being able to move. They were just sitting in the storm.
All right, okay.
Could you imagine it?
Yeah, yeah.
You're just like, at least when you're rowing, you think, well, I'm getting to the point.
Mm.
But to sit there in the middle with nothing, they said you don't see anything. It's crazy. So I'm really excited to go through their journey.
It's interesting. I've almost finished a book. I've been reading this book about the Viking discovery of North America. Leif Erikson. And the whole journey from Iceland, Greenland to the coast of Newfoundland and Nova Scotia. And you start to think about people doing that journey in a bit of a wooden boat, with a bit of a, you know, funny bit of a sail. Mm. And then you think about people rowing across the Atlantic and, you know, how evil the North Atlantic can be, you know, with swirling.
Well, of course they go south, don't they? Yeah, and there's a certain stream. But here's the interesting thing. For 400 years, there's not been a southwest wind at all.
Mm.
So you get down to this point and obviously then you get, you know, not assisted, because of course you don't, but there is a different tide and wave, and forgive my lack of knowledge about all of this
sea dog
shenanigans, exactly.
Sea dog language, yeah.
But so they were trying to get down and they couldn't, because for the first time in the first 400 years that it's never been documented, there was a southwesterly wind between November and March. Who knew? So there's all those amazing stories that I talk a lot. I know it's unheard of. But I couldn't say anything to them. I just wanted to listen to their stories of togetherness and how they grew individually together and what they've learned and how do you take that, what you've learned? How do you take it now forward? How do you, or is it just gone? Mm-hmm. You know, so what are they going to do next? And how does this family support them to do that? And how do they support their family as well? Because we all think it's, wow, these two men have done this amazing thing. But I look at, wow, you know, I know the two wives that were left behind, if you want to say. And so actually the adventure and the journey isn't just theirs, but they're the unsung heroes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah.
So I can't wait to speak to them tomorrow, and actually not speak to them, but to listen to what they've got to say.
Mm. Cool.
Have you ever thought about doing something?
What, rowing the Atlantic? No, not often.
Do you never want to do a challenge that is beyond anything that you could ever imagine?
Getting up in the morning is beyond most of the things I can manage. Yeah, I'm just happy to wake up in the morning.
Do you know what? As soon as you went, look, listen, love, that was it. We were gone, weren't we? We're like, right, here we go. But did you never, is there nothing in you, Josephine or Paul, that would, and this is really for you as well, is there nothing in you that you go, I've got this urge to do something greater than self?
I think probably because the past almost 20 years of my life has been about other people and not self. And the reason I do my job is because I know that every morning when I get up, I'm going to be doing something that's going to benefit somebody else.
Mm.
And I think, and I get a lot out of that, you know, so from a selfish perspective, I obviously, I get a lot of satisfaction out of that, but it's always about other people, whether it's my team, whether it's my family, you know, whether it's the people that we help, and I've always had that drive. So if I could do one thing that made somebody else's life better, that's what I would do more than anything else. So the challenges, I think, sometimes can be personal challenges.
Oh, for sure, there aren't very many people that would even want to do anything like that.
No, but I think everybody has their own challenges and life, don't they? And sometimes just getting up in the morning.
And that's the honest truth.
That's the honest truth, you know. And I think if you're, if you are in a privileged position where you can do something which is spectacular, more than the normal human being could do, I think that's fantastic. But I think for most of us, if you just did one act of kindness every day, actually.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That would be a fantastic thing.
Do you know what? No, you asked me the question. I'm glad Jasmine answered first because she was a sensible answer. But for me, no, I don't want, do you know what? I've spent most of my life trying not to do challenges. I've done so many things and I just think, stop it. Just stop.
And that's
stop
what
saying yes. Yeah. Stop yeah. doing things. Yeah. Not necessarily altruistic things, but I tell people things I've done and quite often I don't think they believe me. They go, yeah, no, that's ridiculous. But I have actually done all those things. I've owned motor racing teams. I've done this. I've done that. I've done all kinds of things. I've run a radio station. I've been on the telly. I've done, da, 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 da. None of it means anything really, but I have done all those things and they've all been a challenge to do them no matter what they've been doing. And now I need to stop.
And there's the challenge.
How do I stop doing things? And do something sensible for a change instead of keep charging off and doing other stuff and taking on things that I shouldn't really take on.
And here's the question I keep asking them as well. Why did you feel that you needed to do that? What was the drive there? What was your motivation? And that's not to say that actually everybody can do that one thing. We can all do that if we wanted to, so it's really an interesting conversation to be had.
Unfortunately, it's going to be a conversation for another time because we're running out of time. We've run out of time. But you're going to hear Bird on the conversation tomorrow with her Atlantic rowers, and I'm sure that'll be fantastic. But I want to say a massive thank you to Bruce Skidd of Operational Accounting Systems for joining us on the show, and of course the lovely Josephine McCartney of the Kent Community Foundation. Please, if you're an Ashford business, do get involved with the Ashford Charity Pool. It will make a lot of difference to the community here. So thank you so much for listening to us. As I say, catch up with Amanda on a Business Bunker Extra show on Friday at 11 o'clock. But we'll be back with another show next week. Have a fabulous week, everybody, and we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.